Ads, schmads. If you don't want ads, that's okay. Choose the Dave McWilliams Plus option on Apple Podcasts. And hey presto, no ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
To understand the economy, you have to understand human nature.
This podcast is powered by Acast.
How you doing there? It is time for the podcast, and I think we've got a little bit of a humdinger here, and I'm gonna give you a little taster of it. It is the fact that the political party that is going to win the next Irish election doesn't even have one candidate standing. That is what we're going to talk about, John. Ooh. How are you, Ed?
I'm good, I think. I'm sitting here looking out the window, and it feels like, as I said to you before, it feels like I'm living in a Tupperware box. It's that kind of, you know, featureless grey sky. It's just awful depressing. But you're not here. You wouldn't understand that because you're not here.
I am on my travels again, John. I am in the Caribbean. Oh, I am in the Caribbean because we're going to try and bring Kilkenomics to the Caribbean. So Caribbeanomics. And it's trying to get the whole thing working.
That would be fantastic. I'm up for that.
Oh, definitely. No, we're doing a podcast down here. We're starting off Caribbeanomics with a podcast. No, and actually we've loads and loads of fans down here. It's amazing.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's actually really, really flattering. Ooh, it's brilliant.
Well, hello the Caribbean.
But I do remember on the issue of Tupperware boxes and days which were very cloudy, a theory of yours, which you dropped on me in our 20s, which was the following. You said, you know a hangover, Mac? I said, yes, I do. You said, a hangover is much worse on a cloudy day. Now, I loved that rationality, right? You said, you looked at me.
I stand by that.
You looked at me quizzically. We were both sitting in London, nursing a few quick scoops, yeah, just to kind of put a bit of measure on the day after the night before.
Did I expand on that theory?
Well, we were sitting in the Cow. I don't know, the Cow Bar, which people might know, up around Westbourne Grove. And you looked at me in all honesty with your medical qualifications. And you said to me, the hangover is a much worse man on a cloudy day. And I thought, I love it. And I felt like saying, John, are you sure it's the cloudy day or the 8 pints of stout that you actually drank?
Yeah, maybe the clouds are in my head.
Exactly.
No, but it's true because it's the low pressure. Do you ever get low pressure, as in weather low pressure? I mean, you're under high pressure all the time, I know.
Exactly.
But the low pressure headaches, and it just makes everything so much worse.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I just think it's more down to the consumption the night before that makes it worse. But anyway, I do like it. It's the John Davis theory of hangovers, that you can drink your loaf off if it's a sunny day the next day. By God, yeah, exactly. If it's a cloudy day, exactly, You're done. You're absolutely done. Well, anyway, there's loads of sunshine. There's far too much sunshine for me because I'm like the closest that comes to a human crab in the sun, right? I'm not even white, I'm pink. So I can't go out there at all. It's ridiculous.
The screen is glowing.
Yeah, exactly. But if it all comes together, we will have a Kilkenomics in the Caribbean, maybe even as early as 2025. Let's have a look at this. However, John, as we are discussing the Caribbean, colonialism, history, the Tories, the idea is I want to talk to you about how the Tories are going to win the next Irish election. So I was getting at when I meant the party that is going to win the next Irish election is the party that won't even put up one candidate in the jurisdiction.
Explain that one to me.
So, Ireland has always been historically used as a pawn by both Britain and France. We tend to overlook the fact that the French have also used us, right? We tend to look at nationalists, we say the French helped us, but the French only helped us as a backdoor to Britain, to get at the Brits from the back door. The Spaniards the same. So the Spanish Armada didn't come to, you know, the Spanish in Kinsale, they didn't come because they thought we were nice guys. They came because they wanted to get at Britain. So if you think of the great set piece European battles after the Reformation in particular, were between Protestant England and Catholic France and earlier Catholic Spain. And Ireland, of course, was, you know, basically the back door to Britain. So we've always been kind of used as a pawn in this game, right? And the Brits have always happily
The Russians are going to do the same, by the way.
They're a little bit far away.
We're going to be the back door to your...
We're a little bit far away.
But they're going to come around. Wait till you see.
This is on a day where the clouds are low, the Russians will come in. Exactly. And John is not 100%. But, so what I'm going to say to you is, the Tories are engaged in a process of what I can only call people dumping.
Right.
They are dumping unwanted asylum seekers in Ireland. In the knowledge that Ireland can do nothing about it. Because the Tory game now, and we are screwed here. We are screwed. So all our great talk about open borders and the common travel area and the integrity of the single market and all the idea, and this is the great thing about perfidious Albion, right? The Brits, they are clever bastards, right? And the Whitehall people, they are clever. They can be mendacious. There's a reason that the French called them perfidious Albion, because they are always perfidious, right? So in this regard, right?
What does that mean?
Perfidio means, fidio is faith in Latin, and perfidio is unfaithful, right? These are people who break, and the Brits have been termed perfidious Albion by the French for years, because the French see the Brits as always walking away from contracts and slimy deals behind. Now, frankly, the French aren't...
Yeah, they've got form there.
Our French friends also have form, you know? So it's not about one white knight, which is glorious and well-behaved, and one skullduggery outfit. No, but my point is, think about what's happening. The Brits have thousands and thousands of unwanted asylum seekers. They have created this thing called the Rwanda option, which means they're going to take unprocessed asylum seekers and they're going to deposit them in Rwanda. They think that this is going to obviously deter immigrants, right? No morals. There's nothing good about this idea, right? It's a deeply, deeply, deeply mendacious, unpleasant, underhand idea.
Unbelievably so.
In the 21st century, it's an extraordinary thing, right? It's exploiting the poverty of the Rwandans, so they're paying them. Yeah. It's exploiting the fear of the asylum seekers. And it's also, for the Brits, a way of creating what I would call social dumping of people.
It's immeasurably cruel.
But now the Brits have figured out, we don't have to dump them in Rwanda. We can dump them in Ireland. This is the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
So what is happening is the French are allowing tens of thousands of migrants in boats to come unimpeded into England. The English have been wanting post-Brexit to do a deal with the French, and the French are hiding behind the veil of, oh, well, you can't do a deal with us. You have to do a deal with the whole of Europe. And that's inconceivable. Yeah. So then these people are washing up literally on the beaches of the south of England. And they're arriving in England. And now the Brits have figured out, hold on a second, why don't we just become the transit point for these people and deposit them in Ireland? And how can we do that? We can do that by encouraging them to go to Ireland. So the Brits are now saying, look, the Irish, they're very welcoming people. Oh, they're very friendly. They're doing this with great dripping irony and sarcasm.
Yeah, Kate me default.
But dripping irony and sarcasm.
Yeah.
Their welfare rates are far, far better. And you know what? You're in Europe. So you're basically in Europe. You're not necessarily in Ireland. So what the Brits are doing is they're thinking, okay, you fucked us on Brexit, you Irish people. You squeezed us by the balls on the single market. You forced us to put a barrier down the Irish Sea, which pissed off the unionists. You humiliated us in public. And we never considered you one of our equals because you were always a pawn in our game. And you won for about 2 or 3 years. And you gloated. And now we have you by unpleasantly, John, the scrotum.
Well, Mark, can I just play a clip to you? Because this was your friend and mine, Jacob Rees-Mogg. Talk about smugness and dripping in arrogance and just complete horribleness.
Horribleness!
If there's such a word. Here he is on GB News, because he's his own show on GB News. And GB News is essentially the Brit equivalent to Breitbart.
Okay.
You know, it's
okay.
It has all the misogynists, all the racists,
Don't hold back there, John. Don't hold back. This is meant to be a well-balanced, objective podcast, by the way.
Well, anyway, he was gloating like you wouldn't believe. Just have a listen to this.
And this is glorious, because what this news really presents is a golden opportunity. An opportunity to send all of the illegal migrants in the UK to facilities near the Irish border. If it just so happens that they then end up crossing the border, which, according to the Belfast Agreement, must remain open, and indeed our departure from the European Union agreement, so be it. According to the Irish courts, they're happy to take in all the poor refugees fleeing persecution. This would have many advantages. It would keep the cost of Rwanda down, as fewer people would need to be sent there. And the EU would be so happy because it would fulfil its beloved human rights obligations, and the Irish government could feel a sense of superiority to His Majesty's government. There will be no migrants coming to the UK from Ireland, and there's no need to stop them going there. Perhaps a maverick viewer may want to set up a charity to help pay the transport costs of illegal migrants who have got in over the channel to send them to Southern Ireland. I believe it's a very pleasant place to be at this time of year.
My blood boils just listening to his voice.
I understand that, John, but this is what Bismarck called Realpolitik, right? It's not nice.
Yeah.
It's not moral. It's about the reality. So let's come back to the Irish elections, both the European and the subsequent general election. The Brits, not even the Brits, the Tories. So actually, my apologies to all our British listeners. I'm not talking about British people in general, English people in general. I'm talking this little small knot of Tories who are being hammered in England. The interesting thing is the Tories will be hammered in England, but they'll actually win in Ireland, even though they haven't had a candidate in Ireland since 1918. And even in 1918, they didn't have a candidate. They had a unionist candidate rather than a Tory candidate. So imagine what's going to happen. They are going to continue dumping people in Ireland. And I use those words advisedly and cautiously, but I want you to evoke this image they have in their head. Why did they do that? Because they want to force France to the table to do a deal on the refugees in Calais. But why won't the French do a deal on Calais? Because the French are going into an election year, an election cycle, and Le Pen will win if Macron does a deal accepting more immigrants, not less immigrants. So France is also on a knife edge. So Macron cannot do a deal with Britain on immigrants because Le Pen will sell that to a volatile French electorate as, look, he wants more immigrants, not less immigrants, when we know the French public opinion wants less immigrants. So then you look at the position of Ireland, right? Over the last 5 or 6 years, there was all this hoo-ha about the Department of Foreign Affairs are great, they have these relationships. Isn't it amazing the diplomacy, the way they engineered Brexit to our advantage? But they did that because the vast majority of European voters didn't care about Brexit. So the vast majority of European politicians said, okay, let's show solidarity with the Irish. They're a small country. It's no big deal for us. It's no skin off our nose. It's grand. Okay, let's go with that. Because the Brits have already made the first move, which is we are leaving. Now, John, the Irish have to persuade the Europeans, that's the Germans, where the alternative for Deutschland is surging the polls.
On the rise, yeah.
Italians, my place of last week, where Meloni is in power. The French, the Dutch, the Belgians, to take our immigrants that we don't want. And of course, there's no way in the world that Ireland will be able to force European politicians in an election cycle to take more asylum seekers. John, this is, you heard it here, the Rwandaization of Ireland.
Rwandized?
They said...
Love it, Mac,
they
love
said,
it.
The Brits are just sitting there in Whitehall saying, fuck Rwanda, we could just drop them in Ireland, right? And yeah, as you heard, Rhys Mogg saying, they are loving it because this is their payback for Brexit. They're absolutely loving it because we didn't give them an inch in Brexit. And this is the interesting thing about diplomacy, John. It's a long game. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
This is why the Chinese are so good at it.
Because they don't show their hand. You know, they play a long, long game.
But here's the thing, though, Mac. You know, last week we had the local elections in the UK where the Tories were annihilated.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Now, that's not a general election, but it is the precursor to the general election.
Yeah.
So what happens next is that it will hasten the general election, where it is expected that Labour will win. Now, Labour also promised to repeal the Rwanda law. So it's interesting if that's going to have that much of an effect or not.
Well, it's true. You know? I mean, first of all, break that down to two. So we now know, John, given that analysis, that the Tories, if let's say they have 12 months left, right? If even, right? Maybe they have 6 months left.
Oh, if even, yeah.
They're going to go feral in the next 6 months, right? Think about it. Do you know what I mean? And this is not about policy. This is about revenge, right, for them.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you're right.
We're absolutely right. This is why Rishi Sunak said, I am not interested in a deal with Ireland. He didn't even say, I'll entertain it, I'll talk to them. I am not interested. They are cancelling meetings with our Department of Justice. They're cancelling meetings all the time. They have decided that in the last 6 months of a traumatic period for the Conservatives, that they are going to extract vengeance against the uppity paddies. And they're going to do this by tent cities in Dublin. This is their weapon of choice. So they are taking victims and they are weaponizing those victims because the asylum seekers are originally victims. But they started with people leave. Right? The Tories are going to take them and they're going to weaponize them against the people they hate most, which is Varadkar and his party, because there was nothing... more, I mean, the English press was nicer to Sinn Féin than Varadkar all the way through Brexit. And the reason is because Varadkar stood up to them. And now Varadkar's gone and he's got this chalice, this poison chalice, and he's given it to Harris. And now Harris has got to deal with the Rwandaization of Irish immigration policy. And that's why he's going up and saying, oh, but we have rules and regulations. And everyone's going, no, you don't, because you are committed never to putting a serious police force on the border, because that would play into the DUP's idea that basically a border in the middle of Ireland is a good idea. And every single Irish party is against that. So our hands are tied there, right? Number one.
But given that the rules of the game have changed, like, you know, is there an argument to put a hard border in Ireland?
Well, now you see, this is what our friend Rhys Moggs is gloating about. Because the original Tory idea of Rhys Moggs and Boris Johnson and all those people was, it's very, very simple. Just put a border down the middle of Ireland. It's already a border. Get on with it. Ireland isn't a problem. Brexit. Get Brexit done. Forget the paddies, right? Mm. That was their working assumption. And then we made a big deal out of the border. We got the French and the Germans to support us on the border. Suddenly the Brits had to put a border down the Irish Sea, right? And the integrity of the Act of Union was undermined. Now, it's interesting to talk about the Act of Union, John, right? The Act of Union was 1802, right? It was actually one of the most extraordinary cases of political bribery ever, but that's by the by. But why was it, right? Why was it? It was extraordinary. I mean, it was backsheesh on industrial scale because they had to persuade the Irish lords to give up their own parliament, which was the source of their power. So in order to do that, you know, Grattan's Parliament and all that good stuff from history, do that, it was al fresco bribery, out in the open. Now, fascinatingly, why, in terms of timing, was the Act of Union in 1802? Why wasn't it in 1775 or 1850? It was in 1802 because of the French assistance to Wolfe Tone in 1798. So 1798, the United Irishman's Rebellion. He is absolutely enthused by Napoleon. He is absolutely enthused by the ideas of Napoleon. And what we forget is that Napoleon was an amazingly liberating idea. Imagine how people felt about liberté, fraternité, égalité, right? Three amazing slogans, right? So Napoleon was almost a brand as much as a person. And of course, Irish people flocked to that, particularly Presbyterians and middle-class Catholics flocked to that idea. And of course, we forget that the 1798 rebellion was incredibly bloody, okay? And had it actually been better organized, it could quite easily have pushed the Brits out, number one. So the Brits react to that by the Act of Union. But what Irish people really sometimes don't appreciate is the French were using us as a pawn in their global war against Britain, in the same way as they were using places down here in the Caribbean as a pawn. Guadeloupe, Martinique, all those places were all being used as pawns. In North America, with the Quebecois, it was a global war, Britain against France, of which we just happened to be a small part. So the French were using us as a pawn. That's the reason the Act of Union is there. The reason the Act of Union is there is because of the French obsession of using Ireland. Now, fast forward, 220 odd years, you have the fantastic situation now where the Brits are using Ireland as a pawn to get at the French. So it's the same story that's been going on for years and years and years. It's just the shoe now is on the Tory foot. And as I said, they're going feral for the next 6 months, right? It's like it's like people in a boozer who've just, there's no closing air, there's no nothing, right? You've got 6 months to go mad and we'll burn the house down.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing, of course.
Drink as much as you can and go for it.
Just go for it. Just madness, right? I've always thought it's somewhere deep inside the English psyche is a fella called Berserko. I've always noticed this, like really nice English friends of mine, right? You go out and everything and they're very polite and really polite. Then they have that one drink too many and they just go berserk. They just like switch. Yeah. So I think
the football fan comes
out. Exactly. So Berserkus, as the Arctic Monkey says, there is Circus Berserkus. Berserkus is now in charge in the UK. And they have decided that we're going to screw the paddies. And there's nothing we can do because the common travel area, we cannot repeal because that means there are 400,000 Irish people living in London with Irish passports.
Yeah.
They can't be fucked out. But if we repeal the common travel area in order to stop immigration, it means all our kids and all our mates who live in London will have to get visas to live in London.
Yeah.
So that ain't going to happen. Like, just think of our options, John.
No, absolutely. But that ain't going to happen anyway, because that would be such a strong, powerful voting block in itself, the Irish connection to the UK.
It would be. But I don't know if you saw that Sunak has now suggested that we join them in the Rwandan project.
Right.
That we... Jesus. So, I mean, they're as they're saying, they're having a laugh.
They're having a babble, mate. They're having a babble.
But they are. They're having a laugh, right? So the latest thing they've said is, I know you're worried about immigration and illegal immigrants and asylum. Why don't you join us in this great British policy of dropping them all in Rwanda with us? Like, this is all...
Wait till you see all the holiday homes being built in Rwanda.
But this is all the Brits taking the piss, right? Because they know they have an issue, right? So we can't repeal the common travel area because there were too many people travelling up and down. If we were to repeal the common travel area with Britain, there would be a hard border in Ireland. So you couldn't go between Dundalk and Newry, or you couldn't go between Strabane and Lifford, or you couldn't go... Could you imagine... between Letterkenny and Derry. So that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
On the European side of things, we're part of the single market and the free movement of people around Europe if those people are processed here. And we can't stop that either.
Yeah.
And that, of course, is what the French are worried about, is that we'll process these people in Ireland and they'll go back to France or go back to Germany or whatever. So it's an amazing cul-de-sac.
Okay, let's take a step back then. Do we need, on a European-wide level, and include the UK, to look at a much broader and much stricter immigration plan for all of Europe? But before we answer that...
A little bit of this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Okay, Mac, let's, as I said, let's take a step back and look at the immigration on a kind of a European-wide level and what kind of policies are currently in place, and do we need to change them? Do we need to review everything? Do we need to get stricter, become a little bit more Orban-ish?
Oh, wow. Okay, John, I take you back. To answer that question, we must go a little bit backwards before we go forwards. I take you back to June 1990. June 1990, there is a European summit held in Dublin Castle. Charlie Haughey is our Taoiseach. Charlie Haughey suspends the summit to watch the Republic of Ireland against Romania, the quarterfinals of Italian 90. All true.
Yes.
When Dave...
The whole country stopped everything to watch that match.
It was when Roddy Doyle noted that George Hamilton on RTE suggested that Dave O'Leary came of age by scoring the penalty, but in the van, Doyle did point out that Dave O'Leary was already 36 when he took the penalty. So there you go. But I take you back because there was something agreed in that particular summit called the Dublin Agreement. And the Dublin Agreement was the following. When faced with a lot of migrants coming in from Eastern Europe after the fall of the wall, the European Union wanted to figure out, well, what can we do about it? And Haughey very cleverly and I think very unfairly came up with this idea of the Dublin Agreement, which was the country where the migrants first make land has to deal with the migrants themselves. So it's not a European-wide thing, it's the country. Now, what Haughey was trying to do was being very clever, knowing that the country that the European migrants, the East European migrants would first come into was Germany, because it's just there on the border of Central Europe.
Right.
Or Italy, or Greece.
Yeah.
So it was a cute whore's feckin'.
Or indeed Spain.
It was a cute whore idea. The Dublin Agreement. And that has been in place for a long, long time. Now, the interesting thing about the Dublin Agreement has been used against us now because those immigrants coming from Northern Ireland are coming from England. Britain is not in the EU. Yes. So we are the first place that they've landed. So in the past, we could say, they landed in Britain, so the Brits can deal with them. But now the Brits are saying, well, sorry, we're not in the EU anymore. So they're your problem. Okay? So what you see, John, is, again, this is my idea of things being a long, long game. That we thought we were too cute by half and too clever by half, not only in 1990, but all the way up. So to answer your question, will there be an EU response? Absolutely not. Why? Because immigration is the one issue that divides Europe between the people and arguably the elite, between the European Commission and the people on the ground who are going to be voting over the course of the next couple of years. So I don't see any country breaking ranks on this. If there is any issue, it's going to European is going to get tighter and tighter and tighter on immigration. And the people who have migrants are going to have to deal with them. This then gives the Brits an amazing opportunity to continue to dump migrants in Ireland. I know we're using terms which are awful to use about humans, but let's do it in the political sense, right?
Yeah.
This is a backdoor, right? And we also know that the Labour Party, Keir Starmer, has done everything possible to appease and assuage the focus group that is Middle England. So if you ask any English friends of yours who are Labour voters, who are Labour people, who are aligned to Labour ideas and Labour philosophy and Labour politics, they are appalled at Keir Starmer, because on every single issue, he's tacked to wherever the focus group is.
Yeah.
He's basically the greatest appeaser of focus groups ever. And I don't think he's going to be any different on immigration. That what he's going to do, he's going to realize, okay, immigration is an across-the-board issue in the United Kingdom. There is no votes for me in being more open, not less open, because it's the one thing that many, many UK voters agree on, which is that the UK is full.
Mm, yeah.
So I'm not sure how a change in number 10 is going to change Whitehall. And by that, I mean how a change in the political class is going to change the civil service class in the UK. It certainly won't be as aggressive. Like, it won't be as you would say, blood boiling as our friend yes. Rees-Mogg. But I can't see a change. So no matter what Europe does, you still have this idea that we have a common travel area with Britain, and Britain has many hundreds of thousands of immigrants it doesn't want. That's the key.
Well, then, let me ask you then that you started with saying that the Tories will win
yes.
the Irish election
yes.
or be responsible for the outcome of the Irish election. So who is going to benefit most in Ireland in the election?
Well, good question. This is where we land, John, right? So obviously the Tories are going to enable a discussion to be framed along the issue of migration. And they will love that, because it's a dish that is very cold. It's served well after the event, and it's called revenge. And they're loving that.
Yeah.
It puts it up to the Irish government, number one, which is, what are you going to do about it? You can't close your border, because that goes against the Anglo-Irish Agreement, the border poll. In fact, the new border poll may well be on immigration, not on unification at all.
Yeah.
Then, of course, it puts it up to Sinn Féin, because Sinn Féin's leadership are very pro-immigration and what they would call themselves pro-human rights. I don't know if you've noticed the change in language. They're pro-human rights now.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that a significant proportion of Sinn Féin voters are anti-immigration. This is what we see all the time. So if you look at what's been happening in Ireland, right, the Sinn Féin vote has gone from about 37% to 27%. So 10% has left them. Where has it gone? It hasn't gone to Fianna Fáil. It hasn't gone to Fine Gael. It hasn't gone to the other left-wing parties. It's gone to the independents and AIM2. And the independents and AIM2 are those who feel that they have the permission, because there is no central whip on the independents, to say whatever they like about local events. So they're the ones who are leading the charge against, or let's say, they're the ones that are dog whistling on the issue of immigration.
Yeah.
So the battleground of the next Irish election will be won and lost in dilapidated hotels around the country. It won't be won and lost on the doorsteps. It won't be won and lost on big issues. It won't be won and lost on taxation or overall economic policy. It'll be won and lost on the streets of small Irish towns, in the entrances to dilapidated, refurbished hotels where immigrants are being deposited. And that is music to Rees-Mogg's ears, and it's music to Rishi Sunak's ears, not because it changes their worldview, John, but it just gives them a little bit of vengeance. And vengeance in politics, as in all parts of life, is rather sweet.
And this is glorious. Glorious.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.